Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight. And as always, what a blessing it is just to be in church on this Wednesday midweek service. If you have your Bibles with you, if you would look with me to the book of John in chapter 3, as we'll continue our study on the life of John the Baptist. What a great example God has given to us in the life story of John the Baptist. And he was the forerunner for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus said much about John. That's where we started our series on this life of John the Baptist, to see what Jesus himself said about the man, John. And there's none greater, none greater. And what a great blessing it is to remember what we studied concerning what Jesus said about John the Baptist. And then looking at his life and understanding that what John was doing is exactly what every born-again believer ought to be doing today. Only he was pointing them to Jesus coming. We need to point people back to the fact that Jesus came. And he began because God had sent him to baptize. And he was, though, that began the baptism in this New Testament church age. John ushered in the New Testament church age. And he would usher it in preaching on the kingdom of God and baptizing those who were willing to repent of their thinking and believe in the Savior, the Messiah, that John was talking about. And what a blessing it was as we've been studying all of that. Now, he again told them that there's coming one that's going to be baptizing them with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and that takes place at salvation. And then after that, the baptism, the water baptism we have, is it pointing people to and allowing them to identify with what Jesus, their Savior, did for them. Now, John preached the baptism of repentance, and that was because Christ had not come yet. But he was establishing these things, and so we've been studying those types of things. And it's been a blessing. I trust it's been a blessing to you as well. The life of John, event that we studied in the life of John was John pointing his disciples to Jesus Christ. There in John chapter, you say we're at John 3, but John chapter 1, after John chapter 1 and verse 35, it says, and again the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, this is right after the baptism, after John baptized Jesus, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold the Lamb of God. He wanted all of his disciples to behold Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus. And so we studied on that. John pointed his disciples to Jesus. And praise the Lord. That's what we ought to be doing as well, is pointing people to Jesus Christ. Truth of it is, you win people to yourself before you win them to Christ. They have to want what you have. They have to see something in you that is different than what they see in themselves, or what might possibly what they see in other people. And so they want to know, where do you get that? How do you act that way? How do you live that way? How do you have that joy in the midst of storms? All the different things. But then when they want what you have, what, praise the Lord, you point them to Jesus, realizing it's not of me, it's of the Lord. And so point them to Jesus. So that's what John was doing, pointed his disciples to Jesus. And now we're looking at the next event, John chapter 3, beginning in verse 22. Okay, if you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together tonight. I believe this is a very powerful event in the life of John the Baptist in the biblical principles that it gives to each one of us here tonight. And again, John ushered in this New Testament church age. And he ushered it in by pointing people to Jesus. Jesus establishes this New Testament church. And then every disciple since that time has been pointing people back to what Jesus established in the church. And so John chapter 3 and verse 22. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Enon near to Salim, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. So these two locations are very close in proximity to each other. And so you have now, before it was just John baptizing, and now you have Jesus baptizing. Well, verse 24. For John was not yet cast into prison. That hadn't happened yet. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. That's which baptism is the most powerful? Which one do we need? We need the baptism that John's baptizing with. Does that bring purification? Or do we need to be baptized by Jesus Christ? Do we need his baptism? So that's what's taking place now. So John's already said, this is the Lamb of God. Behold him. And so the baptism would start changing now. And Jesus' baptism, and people would baptize knowing that Jesus Christ was Lord and Savior. So there was a question about purifying, which one was needed. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. We're losing some church members to this guy. Amen. That's what's going on. That's the question. That's what's happening. And John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except to be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. What a powerful passage of Scripture there. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you tonight, we thank you for this passage of Scripture and this example in the life of John the Baptist. And Lord, there's no doubt there's much that we can learn from this in our present day lives. I thank you for each one that's here tonight, has a desire to study the Word of God and learn more about the God that they serve, they worship. I pray that you meet with us now. Speak to us. Work in our midst. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Well, John knows that Christ must increase now that he is on the scene. And in order for this to happen, John must decrease. We've read that. You've known that. You've heard that verse over and over again. I don't know that you've had an opportunity to really study it and to put it in context that as it is given to us. But what a powerful statement that John makes there. And that's a statement that every one of us and every Christian ever since the church has begun for some 2,000 years, that's something that every Christian has to come to that place in their lives that they realize that he must increase. And in order for him to increase, I must decrease. In verse 25 and verse 26, we find the question is, who is the one to look to? Verse 25, then there arose a question. The question, now they're seeing two different baptisms. They're seeing two different leaders. Now remember, John was a very powerful influence. I mean, they went out into the wilderness to hear him preach. He was a dynamic preacher. He preached with the power of God upon his life. When they walked away from the preaching of John the Baptist, their lives have been impacted. They had heard from God. They had come under conviction. They had revealed, John was able to reveal things that they had not heard before, that no one up to this point had revealed, like what John was able to reveal them. And so he had quite a following. I mean, John himself, his ministry is, and it was only for 6 months to a year, we've studied that, but his ministry had such an impact on this world. I mean, the reputation of John and what he was doing in baptizing and what he was preaching and had been going all around, and he had such a great following. John did. But now Jesus is on the scene. And so we find that everyone that's hearing Jesus is saying, wow, what a powerful, powerful preacher of the Word of God. I mean, when he speaks, you hear God. When he speaks, I mean, there's something inside of you that just is trembling because it's such a powerful message that is coming my way, and I'm understanding things about myself, and I'm understanding things about the world, and I'm understanding things about spiritual things, life and eternity. And so now we find Jesus on the scene, and he's preaching, and he has such a great following, and now he's baptizing. Now this is more of the New Testament believer's baptism. And so the question is, by those that were still following John and still doing what John was doing, baptizing. The question is, who is the one to look to? It's almost, and if you read this, it's almost like John's disciples were thinking, we're in competition here. We're losing some of our followers. The crowds used to be ginormous. Ginormous, is that a word? I don't know, I just made it up if not. The crowds were coming from all over to hear John preach. And now we're losing some attendance. And especially since he's kind of close and Jesus is not too far away and he's within a camel's ride. And so the multitudes are not as large as what they were around John, and his disciples are starting to say, wait a minute, we're losing some of our members to this other man, this other ministry over there. So who is the one to look to? What's taking place? Now, again, humanity is humanity. Human nature is human nature. It's been that way since creation. And so, if they thought that way, no doubt we would think that way to a certain degree. Can I tell you that there's that decision and those questions about churches today? Who has the truth? Should I attend a community church? Because, I mean, it seems like that these churches are really popping up everywhere, and it seems like there's a lot of people going to these types of churches. Am I missing out? If everybody's going to these churches that are popping up and seem to be drawing the crowds, who is it I'm looking to? Is a Baptist the only one that has the truth? Should I be going? Am I missing out? Or is it all right if I go to a non-denominational church, if I go to a community church, or I go to the Rock or the Reef or the River or the whatever else is coming up? I mean, something new age. You get flyers. It's not your mom and dad's church. Come rock with us. So is that something? I mean, really, as times are changing, maybe this is the type of church we ought to be going to today. Of course, when you go, if what you're looking for is a crowd and what you're looking for is entertainment, you don't find any conviction of the preaching. You don't find any standards. You don't find any difference than that which you see in the world. So there's who is the one to look to? Is it this new denomination? Is it a denomination, a religion that just started up 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30, 40 years ago? Catholics want to say we're the mother church and every other church come out of our church, and so don't go to any other Protestant church and come back to the mother church. I mean, they'll use that. But the Baptist has never been a part of the Catholic church. The Baptist is not a Protestant. The Baptist is Baptist. Our roots go all the way back to Christ. But again, we find this going up, and then you get into even Baptist churches and you find that pastors are disagreeing Well, I'm going to a Baptist church, but they speak in tongues. I'm going to a Baptist church, but they just don't preach on conviction or standards. I'm going to a Baptist church, they're just not so caught up in evangelism, soul winning, bus ministries. It's a Baptist church, surely. It's just a difference in the preacher, whether or not we ought to have a bus ministry, or whether we ought to be involved in worldwide missions, or whether we ought to have standards, or what passages of scriptures that you choose to preach on. It's a Baptist church. Surely it's all right for me to go to that Baptist church. It's a Baptist church. It's just the preachers who make up the difference. Now, I'll give to you, the personality of the church will come from the leadership of the church. But the doctrine is far more important than the personality of any man. We move even farther than that, families. Well, this family used to be in an independent fundamental Baptist church, and now this family thinks it's all right to go to a non-denominational community, Methodist, Catholic, whatever church, doesn't matter. It's a family. And so this family now, they have decided, and so if they have taken their family there, if they don't think there's anything wrong with it, who is it that we look to? Can we follow families? Can we follow somebody else that has left and have come back and say, oh, I'll tell you what, there's so many more activities. There's so much, there's more contemporary atmosphere. Doesn't feel like mom and dad's church. Doesn't feel like worship. We can come in there and you can dress however you want and you can do whatever you want and you can have donuts and coffee in the sanctuary because it's not called a sanctuary. You can do whatever. They don't have invitations. They don't make you feel bad. They don't even require you to tithe. They don't care if you give to missions. It's just, let's all just assemble together and just love and have a good time. So families, is that who we look to determine where we're going to go to church? How we're going to serve God? By what other families think? What other fathers, how they're leading their families to do this, to go there, to be that type of... That's how we determine questions are coming up. Same way with your belief in politics. Who's right, the Democrats or the Republicans? The Congress or the Senate? The President or the majority of the population of America? And so who is it that we follow when it comes to our political point of view, our political beliefs? Do we follow this Republicans or do we follow the Democrats, or what is it that's going to establish my way of thinking concerning government, my way of thinking concerning life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? It all goes right here. It's the very same biblical principle. Who is the one to look to? I'm so thankful for we have a godly John the Baptist. And not for one minute is he going to let there be competition between him and Jesus Christ. John clarifies his mission. Verse 27, verse 28. This is just the word of God. Verse 27. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except to be given him from heaven. Okay, so a man that you're looking to, make sure that he's getting his instructions from heaven. He can receive nothing except to be given him from heaven. Now he's talking about himself and he's talking about Christ as far as who they were looking to follow. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said I am not the Christ. I don't have the final authority, but that I am sent before him. John, nor any other man, has the final authority. If you're really looking for the truth, then look to the one who has the final authority. I am not the Christ, but I am sent before Him to pave the way, to point people to Him, to be able to say, don't just listen to my voice, make sure that my voice is following the voice of the authority of God. When this life is over, every man, woman, and child of the age of accountability to face the reality of heaven or hell. No matter who you choose to follow, when this life is over, you will face the reality and face God, who is the final authority concerning what's most important, the eternal things, and that is heaven or hell. And if you have been saved, then you'll face God, the authority of God, concerning the judgment seat of Christ. All of that authority. John chapter 12, look with me. John chapter 12, verse 48. Jesus is helping the people to understand. He didn't come this time to judge the world. He came that the world could be saved. He came to reveal light in the midst of darkness. But in verse 48, he brings it together and he says this: He that rejecteth me receiveth not my words. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. So the final authority is what? The word that Jesus spoke. In order to give an account, in order for a just God to hold us accountable for the words that Jesus spoke, He would have made sure that we had them available to us. Can I tell you that something that has been made available to us for this entire church age, after the apostolic age? God's Word. Has it changed here in the last 100 years? Has it changed here in the last 10 years? Will it ever change? It's eternal. So what John is saying is, don't look to me, look to the one who is the final authority. That's who I've been preparing you to follow. That's Jesus. That is His word. The denomination of the church, the pastor of the church, the families of the church, the politicians of the world, they're not the ones for us to look to follow after their thinking, their philosophies, what they say. We had better understand the most important thing for us to follow after is the very words of God. That's what we'll give an account for. Everything about it. John wanted people to receive Christ, not reject Him. Now he has some of his disciples that don't quite understand, and they're saying, wait a minute, this is competition, and we're losing some of our people over to Him. And John's saying, praise the Lord for it. I want everyone to look to Him. We're not in competition. I don't want you to reject Jesus Christ by looking to me. I want you to look to Jesus Christ as the one that I've been preparing you to follow. What a great statement. And yet today, many are leading people to reject what Christ taught. It's antichrist to reject biblical authority. Based on right there, we're going to be held accountable for what the Bible says.
Not what their parents taught them, not what their church what the Word of God says. When they reach that age of accountability, if they die, they will stand before an Almighty God and give an account for what
thus saith the Lord. When we die as adults, when we die, we're going to stand and give an account according to what the Bible says. You can't say, well, that preacher led me astray, that church that I believed in, and they were telling me they had the truth. It's the Word. John wanted people to receive Christ, not reject Him, and yet today, many are leading people to reject what Christ taught, biblical authority. Many are leading people to reject what Christ taught and rejecting the local New Testament church. To reject and not think that there is a need to assemble ourselves together and not forsake the assembling is antichrist. For you to come to that place, well, everybody else is only going to church one time a week, and surely once a week is all we need. There's churches out there, they only have one service a week. Well, that's the church we ought to be members of. Because if we was members of that church, we wouldn't be accountable to Sunday night. We wouldn't be accountable for going on Wednesday nights. You might not be accountable to that church, but can I tell you something? You'll be accountable to God. Who are you following? You following that church? You following that denomination? You following that preacher? You following a family that goes to a place like that? Or are you having a desire to follow after Christ? If you're not following after the teachings of Christ, it is antichrist, which will take over this world. Especially once Christ raptures His church out, everything will be antichrist. Not, there'll still be religion. In the first of the 3.5 years, of we're studying that on our Revelation series, but it will all be antichrist. There won't be any convictions. There won't be any thing laid on you that you don't want to have laid on you. It's antichrist to reject the local New Testament church. It's antichrist to reject biblical marriages. It's not philosophy. It is antichrist. Denominations now are debating that. I just read in the paper, the Methodist Church is debating that. They say it's probably heading for a split in the Methodist denomination because they're half and half. Half wants to ordain homosexuals into their ministry and half do not. Who are they following? Has God changed His thoughts on homosexuality? Has God changed His thoughts on the family and marriage? And who are we following? That's exactly what is brought up here in this passage of Scripture when John's followers are saying, wait a minute, who are we to follow? He's taking some of our members and their people are going over to this. What do we have to tell them to get them to stay here? Don't tell them anything. Let them go. As long as they're following Christ, that's what it's all about. John, that's what my ministry is all about. It's antichrist to reject world missions. The Great Commission. To say there's no need. To say that we're living in a day and age where you cannot go door to door and you can't have success going door to door, soul winning. So the Bible's outdated. Who said that? And so you're following that person's philosophies. The Bible doesn't say that. It's a church, but you're following that church's philosophies. It's a politician that's now just going to enact laws to prohibit you from going door to door. And that's why we don't do it. So we're following the politicians who make up and decide how we worship God and serve the Lord. And they will eventually get that across. They will eventually tell you, they've already told you can't spank your child. They've already told you how to raise your family. They've already told you what makes up what constitutes a family and a marriage. So is that who I'm following now? Who am I looking to? It's antichrist to reject world missions. Why? Because Christ taught it. It's his great commission to the church. It's antichrist to reject biblical standards for Christian lifestyle, separation. It's antichrist to tell a person that it doesn't matter what you wear. Clothing does not matter to God. That's not Bible. Maybe that's why we have a lot of the problems we have with homosexuality and a lot of people going wild with sexual agendas today. Because they're taught it's all right to be immodest. It's all right for a woman to look like a man. It's all right for a man to look like a woman. I'm just saying, who are we following? Question? Same question. I love John's answer. I've already told you. I'm not the final authority. Stay focused on Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God. John's mission prepared people to receive Christ. Look now, closing here. Look at the last here. I love it. Go back with me. John chapter 3. Everybody all right with this? I know some might not be, but it's all right. It's Bible. Amen. John clarifies his mission, and then in verse 29 and verse 30, John reinforces his devotion to Christ. He knows what they're thinking. He knows that their thoughts are going all over the place. And so he tells them why he came. Don't follow, follow me only as I point you to Christ. And then he says, for I'm devoted to him. John reinforces his devotion to Christ. Look at verse 29. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. Now I love this because John, using this illustration, John sees himself as the best man at the bride and groom's wedding. That's how he's presenting himself. It's never about the best man. Now, I've seen some best men trying to get all the attention in a wedding that's not about them. And so you better be careful who you have stand up for you as your best man. Amen? It's not about the matron of honor. It's an honor to be asked to be the matron of honor. It's an honor to be asked to be the best man. But the matron of honor and the best man realize it's not about me. It's about the bride. It's about the groom. It's not about the groomsmen. Not about the bridesmaids. It's all about the bride and groom. John says, and he presents it as he's honored and he finds joy in being the best man. Verse 29. He rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. Standing up with him, he says, the friend of the bridegroom which standeth and heareth him. He stands up with him. He listens to him. Because he wants to make it a very special time for the those that are what it's all about. It's all about the bride and the groom. Can I tell you that Paul writes to the church at Colossae in chapter 1, talking about the body of Christ, and says that Christ, he must have the preeminence. It's all about him. And our true Christianity, it's all about Christ. In the true church, it's all about Christ. In the Christian life, the true born-again believer's life, it ought to be all about Christ. Who are we following? Who are we allowing to influence us? In verse 30, close here, he says, he must increase, but I must decrease. John would die to self to exalt Christ. Can I tell you that's what true Christianity is all about? In order to have right Christian relationships, we must do the same. In Christian marriages, you know, has a preeminence in our homes, in our families, and he is seen in all those that are living in the home. Listen to me. That is a blessed family. That is God's desire. In church, when membership sees Christ in membership, when visitors come and they see Christ in membership, you have a thriving church. How are you going to do that? He must increase. I must decrease. In my marriage, the most important thing for my wife to see in me is Christ. Only way that's going to happen is for me to die to myself and yield to my Christ. The only way that this church is going to be as solid as it needs to be and be a place of refuge for all who come through the doors is when we look to one another instead of seeing each other's sinful nature. We see Christ in one another. How we behave and how we treat one another, how we love, how we pray, how we give, how we respect. We see Christ. It comes through the devotion that John had. He could have said, that's right, I'm not going to let him take. I've worked hard to get this following. I've worked hard and I've sacrificed much. My devotion's to him. Why don't you go? That's why I'm here. That's my mission. I've already told you my mission. I'm not the final authority. I'm not the one that you need to look to. I want you to look to the one I'm pointing you to. I want you to see Christ. Oh, if we could just get a hold of that. Truly get a hold of it. Change our lives. Are we devoted to increasing Christ and decreasing self? The words that Paul wrote, "For to me to live is Christ." And when I do that, and to die is gain. What a powerful passage of Scripture in the life of John the Baptist. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. You having problems in your marriage? Does your spouse see Christ in you? I guarantee you if they did, it would make a difference. Don't wait for that man or that woman to do it. You do it. Don't serve him. Don't serve her. Serve Christ. Don't look to what she wants. Don't look to what he wants. Look to Christ. Yield to him. Let your kids see Christ when they see you. They see what you're doing during the week. They see how you're responding, how you act. Let them see Christ. It'll make a difference in how they turn out. It will. You want to have a unity in our church? Let other church members see Christ. Don't let that old sinful nature get the best of you and lash out just simply because of whatever reason. He must increase. And for that to happen, I must decrease. Right now, there's an invitation. We're going to have a musical invitation. We always have an opportunity to respond. If God spoke to you, we already had several respond. If you need to come to the altar, we invite you to come. Need someone to pray with you, there'll be somebody who's here that can help you with the Word of God. Oh, let's not lose sight of those words, understanding those words. He must increase, but I must decrease. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord God, for the testimony of John the Baptist, how you've preserved it for us, especially when it comes to who it is that we look to. Help us to get a hold of this thought. Not only get a hold of it for ourselves, but help us to help others with these very same truths. Pray that you just continue to bless this ministry, allowing us to accomplish all that you'd have us to accomplish. Pray now, Lord, as we get ready to dismiss, that you'd watch over us, get us home safely tonight, bring us back at the next appointed hour. In Jesus' name.